And let's stand as we'll be reading from verse 26 to 31. John chapter 20, verse 26 to 31. Okay, let's stand, right, as we read the Bible from verse 26 to 31. John chapter 20, verse 26, I read, and then after that you read until verse 31. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, or inside, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Verse 27. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Verse 29. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, let's read together. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're going to look at the person of Thomas today. And Father, Thomas doubted you. And sometimes in our Christian life, there will be areas of doubt, times of doubt, depth of doubt, and Lord, we just can't seem to find you. We pray today, Lord, you will lift the clouds from off our hearts. For someone who is discouraged, someone who has doubt of you in their discouragement, I pray, as you dealt with Thomas, you deal with us today. Father, I pray that you work in our hearts. Lord, we do not believe that we are here just to sit down and listen to your word. But we know, Lord, we are here because you want us to be here so that you can help us change, to trust you more. So we thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, I was working in rehab in KK. I had a friend, a colleague. I noticed on this colleague's friend, she's probably about 10 years my senior. I know she's not married, but she wears a ring on the left hand, on the forefinger on the left hand. So I was actually quite curious. So after one time, you know, lunch, talk. And so she told me the story. She said she was a Christian. And she was very active in the youth ministry. She works in the youth ministry. And she was actually engaged to be married. And she said, until she found out that her husband-to-be was a homosexual. That was a few weeks or months before. And she broke off the whole thing and left the church and left the faith. And she said, if God is like that, why should I believe? I don't know what you're facing. I use that as just a kick in. Life has its moments. Life has its discouraging times. Life has trials that will come. And life will push us to our limit. But you know, in all these things, the key is that when we are Christians, these trials, many times, allowed by God, may stumble us, may discourage us. The meaning of discouragement, we have to be clear. You know what's the meaning of discouragement? Discouragement, we lose the courage to do what we know we're supposed to do. That's discouragement. This means taking away or lessening. You're discouraged because of many Christians are because something happened that make them lose the courage to do what they know is right. Okay? So this particular friend of mine, now she's overseas, she's migrated overseas and she's in her 50s already, she's working. overseas. Sometimes because of something that's happened in our life, we can point to a situation and then tell people why we don't believe anymore. In John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says, in the same evening and evening, day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, while the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Now, the thing about this is, the disciples were in the upper room, or rather they were shut in, because they were afraid. What has just happened? What has just happened? Jesus died, was buried, and the founder is dead, the one that they have given their whole life to. The situation is a crucifixion, they were discouraged, and they were afraid that if the Roman soldiers are going to catch Jesus and crucify him, who's next? The disciples. And so they were gathered together for fear, and the doors were shut. Alright? The apostles were discouraged. Alright? In fact, I preached a few weeks ago about how Peter was so discouraged, he left the faith and went back to his old ways. In this situation, all the people were fearful. And I want to encourage us by saying, in your discouragement and your doubt, Jesus, if you're a child of God, the Lord Jesus will come to you. Brother Johnny, no one comes to me. Really? How many of you in your discouraging moment receive SMSs for concerned friends? No one? You sure? Sometimes? What's the question? How many of you? Okay, I need to be louder. How many of you in your discouraging times, or sometimes when you receive an SMS from a concerned friend, you say, "How are you?" How many of you, when you're down and someone say, "Hey, what happened?" Do you realize God did not place people around you to be decoration? God puts people around us, especially as Christians, to walk with us. Amen? No man is an island. Many people choose to be islands. But God did not make Adam and stones. He made Adam and Eve because they needed, and God wanted more people. Why? God didn't make people to be decoration. He wants us to learn, especially in the Christian faith, to minister to one another. Okay? So, by the time when they were fearful, they were discouraged, the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Bible said very clearly in verse 19, when they were there came Jesus and stood in their midst. When the doors are shut, how did Jesus come in? How did Jesus come in, Brother June? How did Jesus? He just appeared. He's God. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, the physical restraint of the physical body is gone. Okay? He can walk through walls. He can just appear. So the disciples were like, "Who on earth is this?" Okay? But the Bible is very clear in verse 20, "And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then when the disciples were glad, when they saw the Lord." You know, and then of course the Lord Jesus Christ gave them comfort. You know, in our discouragement, Jesus is always a comfort. Amen? I hope it is to you if you're a Christian. I hope you don't find comfort in other things. The comfort that you need to receive as a Christian, remember the song, "Tell it to Jesus, if you have sinned, if you have fallen," or whatever, go tell it to Christ. And it's very encouraging because when you come to Christ, the Lord knows how to help us. But we need to come to Him, okay? And of course, they receive the comfort. Guess who is not there? Thomas was absent in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus. The word Didymus means two minds. It's interesting, the whole name of Thomas is doubt. Die, two, must, muse, thinking. He was in two minds. He was a doubter, okay? Thomas wasn't there with them. And in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said, "Hey, we have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails and put my finger in the print of his nails, I trust my hand, I will not believe." How many of us have come sometimes in our Christian life when things happen, when people try to encourage one and said, "No way you're going to convince me that God is good. After all that's happened, I don't believe anymore. Show it. If you want to believe, show me." There was one time when we went Yishun tracking, there was this lady we were knocking. So we were inviting them and said, "Ma'am, I would like to," of course in Mandarin, but I said, "I would like to invite you and your family to come." She was about 79 years old to 82 years old. She kind of brought her 40-year-old daughter. "If we come to your church, can your church heal my daughter?" I said, "Oh, okay." So, "Ma'am, we don't know what happened or what's the problem." And then sadly, she related and said, "Who's going to take care of my daughter when I die?" She's about 79, 80 years old. And she said, "My daughter went to a church when she was 27. After 3 days, she became mentally unsound. And she has been like that for the last 13 years. If your church can heal her, I'll believe." I said, well, God has a plan in all this. It's very hard to give an answer in those situations. I said, we're willing to pray, we can help all we can. You know, sometimes some things happen to us that we choose not to believe. We get discouraged, and as a result, the discouragement, listen carefully, this is very important. Many Christians go through discouragement and let discouragement affect their faith. Do you get what I mean? You let the situation affect what you believe. Many Christians go through that. And it's a very subtle one because you don't even think about it. You say things like, "If God is a God of love, how can this happen to me?" And we begin to... there was a question that Pastor Brother Aldwin mentioned just now about now those beheadings in Mindanao. It's, "If God is a God of love, how come these people are beheading other people?" Surely, there are some Christians who doubt God on the basis of what they see, what they perceive. Okay? I want to give you four truths. Is it four? Three truths of how the Lord wants us to deal with the doubt in our discouragement. Because it came a time in the disciples' life, they didn't believe anymore. The reason why I say they didn't believe, not that they kind of pushed it out of their mind, they were so discouraged, they weren't willing to act on it. See, faith always acts. I say again, genuine faith in Christ always has action. When we are unwilling to act on our faith, there's doubt. So when discouragement comes, we lose that courage, it affects our faith, we stop doing the things we know is right, we stop doing the things we know God says. Why? Because there's doubt. And we begin to lose, all right, that faith. There are three truths from this passage that I want to highlight that hopefully will help us. Number one, God always provides the place for growing faith. God always provides a place for growing faith. How do I get that? Thomas was absent the last week when the Lord came to meet with his disciples. And as a result, he doubted the very report the apostles gave him. Jesus appeared to the apostles, he was absent. And they said, "Look, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." And Jesus said, even Jesus told the apostles, "Look into my hands." And then the Bible says they were glad. Because they verified, this is the very Lord. And then when Thomas came, they said, "Hey, Thomas, you should have been there. Jesus came." What did Thomas say? "Except I see the print in his hands and his legs, I will not believe." Thomas was absent from the place that God has given to build faith. Okay? God has designated places for us to go and seek his face. After that, I tell you a few. But I want us to be very clear. The truth is, when we are discouraged, we have a tendency, you know what we want to do? Dig a hole and stay inside. And we don't want to talk to anyone. Okay? Now, God didn't design for us to build faith like that. God has designated places. Let me give you a few Bible verses to establish this truth for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, it says, let me just read. "Unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes," to put his name there, the verse is actually there in your printer, "even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. And thither shall ye bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices and tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks." In the Old Testament, God designated one place in the entire nation of Israel that all Jews are to go. And when you want to repent, when you want to give your offerings, your whatever gifts you have to go to Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem, because that's where the presence of God is. Alright? So all your offerings, all your tithes, all your burnt offering, everything has to go there. That was a designated place. Alright? In Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 9, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you that cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. In other words, although during Nehemiah's time, the Israelites were all scattered, and said, if you will repent, I'm going to bring you back to where I am. The place where the Jews were given the privilege of sacrificing to God. Alright? Now, in 1 Kings 17, 3-4, is an interesting passage. Elijah just confronted King Ahab and said, at my word, you will have no rain for 3.5 years. Okay? So in 1 Kings 17, 3-4, God says, alright, get up, go to this place. Let me just read, let me read the passage and get what God is trying to say. Get thee hence and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is beyond Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The key word is there. Okay? God told Elijah, go to this brook Cherith. I have told the birds, I have tuned their GPS to go, to bring the food to that place. And Elijah, if you want your water and if you want your food, you better be there. If you are somewhere else, the bird's GPS is only tuned to there. This is a very important principle for many Christians. God has designated places for us to seek His face in our discouragement. Where do you think in the New Testament God has placed a place? Number one, your own time with God. Your own time with God. God told us to study the Word. Did you know that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Amen? You don't have to go anywhere to seek for God. He's just beside you. More than that, He's inside of you. And He wants us to have that daily devotions and time, quiet time that you spend with Him. And when you open the Bible, there He is. You know, it's kind of like when me and my wife, we were kind of, before we were married, was in Australia, so we write letters. You know, the letters were like her presents. Agree? Think about that. The letters were like presents. Some of you may have come before. Of course, when she's here, I throw a letter away. No, I still keep the letters. All right? There was one boy who was playing a fool with the mom's letters, and she decided to send her dad's love letter to the mom, and then she went to be postman and went. They give up the letters to all three because she was playing postman. Say, Mom, say, you know, all the whatever. Okay, but, you know, when I wasn't with her for many months because I was overseas, those letters were like a presence. Because those letters speak to me, oh, dear, I love you, whatever, you know, okay, all kind of things. Say, you know, I wish you were whatever, here, that kind of, okay. All these are like the presence. God gave us His Word. You know some wonderful phrases from the Bible that God says, Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you in everlasting love. I will not leave you nor forsake you. In the time of deepest discouragement, this word should pop out towards you. Your quiet time is one place that God has designated. The Lord Jesus had quiet time every single day. Every time in the morning, He would spend a long time in prayer before He went out to do His work. If you are discouragement, you need that. You know why sometimes we discourage? You know the Bible says in Matthew 6, when we pray, we are to go into our closet. We need a time with God. We need a time that no one else but you and God. The problem is that sometimes our closet is empty. Owner not at home. We're not there in a quiet time. You know why we're discouraged sometimes? You know why we're not just discouraged, but you know why we lose our faith during discouragement? We didn't spend time to get admonition from God. Does that make sense? Number one. Another place is your family devotions. Those of you who have Christian families, family devotions is a very important place for you to seek the face of God.
A time that the dad will lead. A time that the mom will submit and listen to the teaching of God's word. Not the teaching of father. Well, the teaching of the father. But father had to teach the word of God. Do you have a time of family devotions? Your children may learn eternal truth that will save their soul at the family altar. As we move to a new place, my vision is for every family to have that every single day. If you don't know, we'll help you. Because you know what? When we have that, there's a place that your children can seek the will of God with regards to many things. When the word of God is actively taught, family devotion, your church. Let's look at 1 Timothy 3:16, 3:15. Unfortunately, church has become a battlefield sometimes. But you know what the Bible says? 1 Timothy 3:15. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. But if I tarry long, in other words, if I can't come to you in time or I'm delayed long time, then thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. What is Paul referring to? He was referring to the church. The church is a house of God, a place where God dwells. You know why? God doesn't come here on weekdays because it's just a physical shell. But God is here every time God's people come. You know why? Because God is in all of us. When you become a Christian, it's a house of God. Not just that. It is the church, the assembly of the living God. And it is the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, it supports the truth of the Bible. You know what God said? When we don't see church as a place of seeking the will of God, we've missed one of the most important places in the New Testament to seek the face of God. Because it is in the church you have concerned brethren that will share with you, that will bear the burdens with you. You have ministers who will preach, the pastor who will preach, and Sunday school teachers who will teach the word of God, that we will seek the will of God in times of our discouragement, that will fuel our faith. The local church is a place and institution in the New Testament that God has chosen to place His name, honor, and where His word needs to be done. And the name of Jesus Christ can be honored in the north here, or the name of Jesus Christ can be shamed. Does that make sense? In the same way in the Old Testament, God puts His name there. Now, I'm not saying that God lives here only. I'm saying that when God's people gather together, in our discouragement, God can build our faith, okay? Let me ask you, we need to be at the right place where the Word of God is taught and preached. You know, one of the things in my heart, I mentioned it before, every time we get together, God's Word must be taught or shared or encouraged with one another. Okay? When the car has no petrol, where do you go? When the car has no petrol, you go to our water hose here. Right? You go to the right place. Where do you go? When the car has no petrol. There's a gas station. You go to the petrol station, right? When you have no more vegetables, where do you go? You go to where? Huh? To the market? To where? NTUC? To Giant? Some go to Malaysia. When you're low in your faith and you find nowhere to get it, where do you go? Your devotions with God? Your family devotions, the people whom you love, love the Lord, local church? You know, faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by sitting alone and trying to think what to do. Listen carefully. Many Christians make this mistake of making decisions in their life. They make decisions in their life without consulting the Word of God. That's why you don't build faith. Because the Bible says, Romans 10:17, what does it say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot establish clear processes of what we need to do if we don't open the Word of God. And I can tell you, God's Word is so clear in many things that if we just follow it, we'll be fine. Financial principles, family principles, how to grow up as a teenager. Did you realize Daniel was a teenager when he was in Nebuchadnezzar's court? He was only 14 years old, hello. How many of you are 14 years old? 15 years old? nearby. Daniel was already standing for God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were all teenagers, by the way. And they were thrown in the fire furnace. Why? You know why they were able to stand in the fire? They weren't discouraged. You know why? Because the word of God was in their hearts. They didn't have the Torah with them. They didn't have synagogues. But they had God in their hearts. So when they look at the king, we're not careful to answer in this matter. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar was asking them to bow to the idols. And he was very angry because, is it true? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods? So I'll give you another chance. The sound of the cornet and flute and sackbut and psaltery and all kinds of music. If you bow down, fine. If not, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And who is that God that is able to save you? If as Singaporeans, we say, hey, wow, I think, sir, let's talk about it first, Ken. It's Ken. We form a committee. Let's talk about this. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what he says? We're not careful to answer James' matter. In other words, Daniel chapter 3. We're not anxious to answer you. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver out of the fire and will deliver out of thine hand, O King. But you know what he said? But if not, be known unto thee, O King, we will not serve your gods. You know why? God was in his heart. You know why we get discouraged? God is not in our hearts. He's somewhere else. He's not on the throne. And that's why we need to seek him to put him back there. Okay? It's a very important principle. Faith cometh by hearing. Church, messages, devotionals, godly friends. Some of you have godly friends, you go out for coffee. Don't just talk about the taste of the coffee. Talk about Christ. Be open and honest and say, look, I've got this. And when you get together, encourage each other in the Lord. Pray for one another. Deal with the important things. Okay, husband and wife, deal with the important things. Don't just talk about other things. Deal with the faith. Deal with the faith issue because that is the very foundation of your life. It will determine whether you grow godly or you will grow worldly. Okay? Faith comes. Our blessed Lord is present every time we meet. When God provides the place, he wants us to grow and he will always be there. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus is right here to meet your needs. That's what he says. Okay? Truth number one, God always provides the place for us to grow faith. Number two, God invites us to trust him. Notice I'll just read first. We need to respond to the gentle calling of Christ. Okay? In 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, as for the Lord, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested, tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. What does it mean? When God is a buckler, okay? The word buckler has to do, you know, buckles for your belt. Okay, the idea of fastening. Okay, God is someone who keeps you together in your trials. Okay, if you don't have God as your buckler, your pants will fall off. And sometimes in the trials of our lives, we embarrass ourselves because we don't have God as our buckler. All right? Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. There's an invitation of God constantly to trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. You know why does... why do you think, why do you... Do you need to... Have you ever come to a situation whereby in your relationship with someone, you have to ask, do you trust me? What has happened in that situation? Something has broken. You know why God asked us to trust him? Not because he is unfaithful. God is never unfaithful. Because we've lost trust. You know what God is doing? God is always right. And he's just encouraging us, look, trust me. Why are you handling things yourself? Trust me. I can handle it for you. Trust me. And trust me. And the word trust God is repeated again through the Psalms, through the Proverbs, through everywhere in the Scriptures. Why? Because man has a problem putting faith in God for life. Does that make sense? And so everywhere in the scriptures, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That is what God says. Now, in John chapter 20, verse 29, notice how Jesus invites Thomas to trust him. Look at 20:29. Oh, sorry, let me just read 26, okay? And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, sorry, verse 26, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Now Thomas was in the right place, Jesus came. Whenever God's people gather in his name, for his sake, for his glory, VBS workers, for those who will be there, you can be sure God will be at the VBS. Because when people gather in his name, for his glory, for his purpose, God fights with them. Amen? He comes and he will help and he will superintend. Over the years, our VBS have been a blessing to many people. They have written, they have given donations to support the work. Why? God was there. Because there, people work together for the salvation and the sharing of the word of God with the people. God is there. If you can't be here, pray. Pray and say, Lord, do something in the VBS. Get some child saved. Get some mom to be open in their eyes about the gospel. All right? So in verse 26, guess what happened? Thomas was there. Jesus came and said, peace be unto you. The first person Jesus looked at was Thomas. Notice in verse 27, then says he to Thomas. You know why? If you are missing one Sunday, God has a message for you the next. I'm just saying that, but you know what? It's interesting. God is not singling out Thomas to punish him. He's singling out Thomas to build him. Amen. Look at the scriptures. How tender Thomas. God calls us by name. Number one, you need to recognize, we need to be willing to be prepared. I have it in my notes. I think you have it there too. You need to listen for your name. That was the point. You know, I was thinking through. I don't want you all to go all the way and say, wow, every time I come to church, I must listen to Johnny. Johnny. And then you say, God's speaking to me. No. You know how you listen for your name? Come prepared. God is always ready to speak to you. Every message, there is something for you. There is always something for you. We need to come prepared with a heart of hearing what God says, not what I want. Okay, number one, listen for your name. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, this is an interesting one, and this is when Elijah was discouraged. Okay, so it's very, very relevant. Elijah has just won the mighty battle at Mount Carmel, but then the next day Jezebel say, within 24 hours you're dead. And Elijah ran. Zabot. Run away. Scared. Ran. Okay, he ran. And he was tired. And he slept. And the angel of the Lord fed him. And in 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and he came to the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? Who came? The word of the Lord came. Elijah, what are you doing here? God identified Elijah and called him by name. I don't know what situations you have. Maybe this message is just God is just asking you, what are you going through? You need to listen for your name. And if you belong to God, God always calls you in your discouragement. Why do I say that? I think I just use life situations. Teachers, if you have 40 children, right? You, after a while of teaching them, you kind of know who your students are, who are the weak points. And you know, how come this person a bit quiet today? He didn't say much. Because usually he's very rowdy. And as a teacher who is concerned, you will say, hey, I need to maybe talk to him and find out why. You see, the heart of our God is so big and so compassionate that when you're down, he knows it. Amen? And he calls you by name. And he will work in preachers, he will work in people, he will work in your devotions to speak to you in a certain way to help you. Number one, listen for your name. Number two, notice what Jesus says in verse 27. Then says he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Number two, remember his work for you. In your discouragement, many times we forget what God has done for us. You know what that means? We actually become ungrateful. Not that we want to, it's just that we are so caught up with our problem and our discouragement and our lack of faith, we don't see what God actually has done. In other words, we stop counting our blessings. Sometimes problems in church, problems in marriage, problems in relationships, we say, I just want to throw in the towel. Not remembering that God has blessed you with a family. Forgetting that God has blessed you with all that you ever need. You know what Jesus is saying? Thomas, look at what I did for you. I believe with all my heart, when you go up to heaven, you will be able to put your fingers through the nail prints of Jesus for all eternity, as an eternal reminder of his love for us. Jesus told Thomas, put your hands into my nails. You know what he's doing? Not just remember his work. Thomas, look carefully and inspect the evidences of truth that has been given to you. Look at what I have done for you. You know, as Christians, you know what we do need to do? We need to remember what God has done for us at the cross. We need to look at the blessings that God has given to us. If you have a family, thank God for that. If you have your job, thank God for that. If you have things that God has given to you, thank God for that. Yeah, we can be discouraged. There's not. But you know, to lose faith in discouragement is another thing, and God wants to deal with that. You know, as Christians, you know why we lose faith? It's because we forget what God has done for us. If God takes away everything from your life, what do you have as a Christian? If God takes away everything from your life, what do you have as a Christian? Yes, Brother Joshua? Huh? You have God. You have your eternal salvation. Is that enough? But Brother Johnny, I need to live on the street. So? At least you can go community center, you know, airport, right? But you know, as a Christian, if you have lost everything, even your bank account, everything, do you realize you still have God? Is that enough? You know, I know it's easy to say, but sometimes when we go through God, I struggle. Can I say this? The struggle in your discouragement is normal because you are human beings. And Jesus understands that. That's why the first person Jesus spoke to was Thomas. He knew that he was struggling with doubt. He knew that he was struggling with certain things. He said, Thomas, look at what I've done. Number two, remember his work for you and inspect carefully the evidence of faith. And number three, listen to his admonition. In verse 26, the last part, be not faithless, but believing. You know, for Thomas, when Jesus showed him the hands and nails, it was exactly what he said. What did he say earlier? Except I see the nail prints in his hands and his feet and his side, I will not believe. Right? You know what Jesus says? Take a look. That tells me one thing. Thomas was sincere in his doubt. He's not playing a fool like some people. You know, some people ask questions. You ask them one question. You answer one question and they change the question. Then they ask you another thing. They ask you another thing. You know what they're doing? They're not interested in belief. They're not sincere. Does that make sense? A sincere person who really doubts, it means that something has happened to his heart. Lord, what is happening? And when he asks those questions, he says, except I believe, except I see, I will not believe. So Jesus comes and meet. If you're not sincere with God, you will not find any answers with God. But if you're a sincere seeker, you will find God. And he shall seek me, and he shall find me, when he shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. God promises the sincere seeker that you will always find him when you give all your heart. Say, God, I don't know where you are. God says, I'm right here. You will find him. And that's a promise from God. And that's a promise for every believer. And Jesus told Thomas, don't be faithless. And that was exactly what Thomas was having. He was having no faith. He didn't believe. He said, I will not believe. But believing. You know, many of us can look at our situation and sometimes we lose faith. I was just sharing with one of my children. When you look at your situation as you're walking on water, Sometimes, okay, just pretend that in your trial situation, the Lord Jesus is inviting you to walk on water. Very volatile. When you don't look at your Savior, you will sink, right? But in your situations, if you look at the Savior, you just get wet. The storms will still come, you get wet. But when you don't look at your Savior, you will sink. And many Christians, when they go through the trials of their life, with the waves splashing against them, they fail to look at the Savior, they sink. But Christians, if you will look at the Savior as you're walking on the water through the storms, you only get wet. Okay? It doesn't mean that you will not be affected, but it does mean you get wet, but your faith is still on. That's why when Peter fell into the water, what did Jesus say? Peter, why does thou doubt? We need to listen to his admonition. Some of you may have lost faith in certain things. I'll touch on that later. But then another point here in John chapter 20, verse 28. After you heard your name, after you remember his work for you, after you listen to his admonition to be not faithless but believing, respond by faith. In John chapter 20 and verse 20, Thomas answered and said unto him, you know what, the Bible never said Thomas put his hand into the... He said, Lord, I don't have to put it. My Lord and my God. You're not just my God, you're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my God, Lord. Some of you may be discouraged and you have lost faith. The reason why I know you lost faith because it's like Thomas. Thomas didn't want to be with the people. It could be like many Singaporeans, once they get discouraged, they want to be by themselves. I don't want to be part of the bigger group anymore because I'm discouraged. But thank God, the next time he came and he met Jesus. There was one person I know, he said, who actually told me, Pastor Johnny, I will not come to church because if I come to church, I know God will speak to me. One of them actually came, and true enough, he got convicted and he stayed on. But another one just refused to come into church. Why? Because she knows that if she comes to church, God's going to speak to him. Why? It's the place that God has given to build faith. All right? Respond by faith. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Faith always acts. And that's why Thomas just gave in and he surrendered to the Lord at that time. Truth number three, God challenges us to grow our faith. Number one, God provides the place for growing our faith. He invites us to trust him. And God challenges us to grow our faith. Look at 29. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. It is very easy to believe when you have seen something. But you know what? For Thomas, Jesus is saying, you have seen me, you have believed. Your faith is based on sight. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, the Lord is actually referring, I believe, in context to people like us. We have not seen the risen Christ, but we have put faith in him. Thank God for that. But I believe embedded in there, there's a practical application. Thomas, you have seen right now the living Christ. There will come a time in your life that you are going to face the trials once again. And I have been resurrected and I've ascended back to heaven. Thomas, when you are going down to India and you are going to preach the gospel to the Indians, which he did, there's a church of India today, and it is believed the apostle Thomas went as far as India to preach the gospel. And I believe that Jesus said there will come a time, Thomas, when you are going to be attacked by Indians who will not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are going to kill you for your faith, will you still believe? And he's telling Thomas, look, there will be a time that when you go through the trials of your life, you don't have sight to depend on. But you have faith in your heart to depend on. That when everything crumbles, you will still say, Lord, you are still in charge. I still love you. I still believe. Christians, many Singaporean Christians live by this kind of faith. I need to see it first. God is calling us to a faith that you don't need to see. You just need to hear, and that's enough. You will believe and you will obey. That's what Thomas needed to learn. You see, when the apostles said, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." What did Thomas say? "I don't believe you." But come on, these are close friends. These are not people who want to go out and bluff him. But the Lord was very clear. "Thomas, you have seen and yet believe. Blessed are they that have seen and yet have not seen and yet have believed. Christians, God wants us to live by the second tower of faith. He will accept us when we are young in the faith. And that's why older Christians need to work with younger Christians to show them what it means to live by faith. Because older Christians, older parents who are old in the faith or have many years as Christians, your younger children are actually, look, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but all of us who are older in the faith, our younger children are looking at us how we live our faith. When we see how our fathers and mothers walk by faith, next time when they grow up and say, "I have the faith of my father in my heart now, and I will live by faith." And then you become an example to the next one. Why is it in many churches, the older generation do not live by faith? They begin to put their work, I say, "I need to put this first, that first." All their priorities have shifted. Why? They have never put God in their younger years inside their hearts. Oh yeah, you're Christian. But we have never come to a place whereby, like Thomas struggled, it's okay to struggle. It's not okay to struggle for the rest of your life because someone is looking at your faith. If Thomas didn't settle this with God, he wouldn't have been an apostle sent to India and died for the faith. And you know what? Many people came to Christ because of his faith. Parents, we need a faith that don't need physical evidence. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you cannot see. You know, this is something that the Lord over the years have crystallized in my heart. You know what faith is? I believe, therefore I say. I'm not talking about mystical faith. My faith is in the Lord. He has come true in my life many times. My family and I has been in need, but God has come true every time through prayer. Therefore, I can tell you right now, I don't know what the future holds for Ambassador, but I know God's already there. And I know God's going to lead us if this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouths. God is not, I believe, God will not let the person down who will put his faith in him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, "I will honor those who honor me." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will direct you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32 verse 8. God says he will lead us. But we need to follow him. And the faith we need to have is a faith that says, "God said it, I believe it, full stop. I'm just going to live that faith." It doesn't need, we do struggle, that's a given. We do doubt, that's a given. But Christians, don't use doubt and discouragement as an excuse not to move on for Christ. I want to challenge you. You know why? Because many people need us to be strong for Christ. Their faith is at stake. You fathers, your children's faith is at stake. You mothers, all of us, we need to be strong for Christ. We need to believe. We need to trust by faith. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and 18. There's an example of that. And I just read as we go. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots." This was Gehazi. Elisha was there. Okay, and Elisha was... the servant came out and said, "We are surrounded. The king of Syria has sent all his armies to surround Israel. We are dead." Okay? "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And of course, Elisha, the man of God, said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." You see, the opposite. You know why we respond in fear and anxiety, and we worry, and we give. Okay, listen to this typical Singaporean answer. I am concerned that next time it will be like that. You know what you're doing? You're trying to control. You're going to take control of situations. You cannot control what's going to happen 2 years from now, 10 months from now, 2 weeks from now. But you can live your faith today. Based on what God has said, this is my decision, because I trust God to take us through. Okay? Now, the servant here in 2 Kings was afraid of the enemies around. And Elisha said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Think about that. All the armies of Israel was there. Oh, sorry, the armies of Syria was there to attack Israel. And say, "Oh, die, finish." Elisha said, "Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them." Was the servant missing something? No. Elisha then prayed, "Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see." And then Gehazi, the servant, saw that round about the mountains were full of horses and chariots of God. Do you see the horses and chariots of God in your life when you're facing the discouragement? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. I believe in Psalm 35. The angels of God are around us, guys. And I'm challenging you to live by faith. Discouragement in life is a situation. A situation happens, but we can choose to be discouraged by the situation, or we can choose to say, "I'll give thanks in the situation." It's always a choice, a spiritual choice. We can choose to fall down and stay down, or we can choose to fall down and say, "I'm getting up again." This is how I train my children when they were young. And my children, I don't tell you who, say, "Pa, I fall down." And when they actually fall down. You know when children fall down, what do parents sometimes do? "Oh, sayang, sayang," oh, then carry, right? You know what you need to do when they fall down? Get up, lor. Of course, you make sure they don't get cuts and all that, lah. You know, as a concerned parent. But you know, you want them to learn. When it's time, when you fall down, you need to have the courage to just get up and go. Many Christians fall down in their spiritual life, like Thomas, and he stayed down. But thankfully, he had enough sense to be with the apostles, and Jesus came and helped him. Are you going through that? In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, I'll just read that. "And the woman said to Elijah," you know, when we go through, God challenge, truth number three is God challenges us to grow our faith. All right? In 1 Kings 17, 24, there was a woman that said to Elijah, the woman who obeyed God, did everything right, fed the man of God, the son died. What about you? How many of you have been in that situation? "I've served God so much and this happened." And this woman actually looked at Elijah and said, "Are you come to call my sins to remembrance?" Elijah said, Elijah was as blurred as a word. He went to God, "What's happening?" But you know what? God actually raised the child up. And notice what the lady said at the end. 1 Kings 17:24, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.'" You know why God sent Elijah to this woman of Zarephath? Two things. Number one, the woman of Zarephath is a Gentile, not a Jew. Number two, I believe God sent Elijah to see this woman, to save her soul. We'll see the widow of Zarephath in heaven. Because of what he said, "Now I know the word that you have spoken is truth." When God puts you through the discouragement, don't look at the situation. Ask God, "What do you want me to learn, Lord?" That's faith. That's faith. That is faith. As we close, some of you may have lost faith in the Lord about things in your life. I believe God is calling you back. God is dealing with the doubts in your discouragement. You know, as believers in Christ, God will always stand with us. But we need to learn to trust Him.
Don't lose faith in the Bible. You know how some of us have lost faith in the Bible? You know how I know? We don't read it at all. We don't read it at all. We a couple of minutes on the train on the, and we say we've done a Bible reading. You don't study like that for your exams, do you? How many of you will study for a major exam? Never mind, I just scroll down a few of my notes. Many times we fail in exams of life because we just scroll down. And God wants us to be in the Word. I encourage you. I mean, the Lord Jesus is tender to us, but we need to respond to Him by faith. All right? Let's close in word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you are doing. I don't know how this message will go, but I do know, Lord, that you have a message for your people. As you have dealt with Thomas, so you are dealing with us. And Lord, some people may be discouraged, seriously discouraged. Yet, Lord, we know that you are so tender to one. You're very close to one, Lord, who is discouraged and yet seeking your face. Lord, you're close to one who may have lost strength, but Lord, who still want to believe. You're close to one who may not have the courage and strength to do right. And yet you're reaching out to them by showing them your pierced hands and your pierced ankles and the spear that thrusts your side. And you want to tell them, be not faithless, but believing. With eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to pray for you. Is there someone who says, Pastor, yep, discouragement is very strong in my life. And sometimes I've lost some faith. But I want to come to Christ. Is there someone who says, Pastor, pray for me? Just pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. So pray it up, pray it down. And just tell God. Cry out to God. God, I need your help. I need your help. Is there someone else? Is there someone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? God wants to deal with our hearts. You know, it is between you and God. I can help you pray. But really, you have to go through this alone with God. Because it's a faith in your own heart. But as pastor, my job is to share with you what Jesus can do for you. But you need to, amen. Is there someone else? Let's put up your hand, I'll pray for you. So Heavenly Father, I commit these hands that have gone up into your hands. You know who they are. You know what they're going through. I don't. Just as Jesus knew exactly what Thomas was going through, and you are confronting them in a nice way to say, look, be not faithless, but believing. Father, I pray for these brethren who have heard the word. The Lord, they will learn to put faith in you. And Lord, to come to you. Because we know you have provided a place to grow their faith. They are responding, Lord, and I pray that they will respond by faith in their hearts. And Lord, they will respond to your invitation to trust and to grow the faith. That they will not remain a believer that just believe because they see, but they will be a believer that believe because they know thy word and they are trusting in your promises despite any evidence. So Lord, I pray for these brethren, oh dearly beloved by you, I pray that you will walk with them and as they seek help or as they come to you, as they read the Bible, I pray you open the word of God clearly to them. Lord, as we close and sing the closing hymn, it will be worth it all. Worth it all. We pray that you'll keep our hearts, Lord, strong. That we'll be standing on Christ, the rock. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.